Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The long-running legal battle over the Dakota Access Pipeline took a dramatic turn yesterday. SDPB's Victoria Wicks has been following this story and the story of the Keystone XL pipeline. She's joining us today with a snapshot of yesterday's announcements and what they mean. Welcome, Victoria. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Lori. It's good to be here.
Let's start with what happened in court yesterday.
Well, yesterday was an amazing day for pipeline opponents. There are two very controversial pipelines were handed two different federal court decisions. One of them could be the death blow for one of the pipelines, depending on politics. Judge James Boasberg in the District of Columbia ordered that the Dakota Access Pipeline must be shut down and emptied of oil by August 5th. And then the U.S. Supreme Court declined to reinstate water permits for Keystone XL Pipeline, which effectively shuts down pipeline construction for months while a Montana case works its way through the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
So remind us why these pipelines are so controversial.
I think everybody knows the Dakota Access, or DAPL, from photos and images in the news. That's where protesters gathered in 2016, and DAPL carries oil from North Dakota's Bakken fields down to Illinois. The protests at Standing Rock drew people not only from all over the nation, but also other countries, and there were sympathetic protests in other states. The protesters were trying to stop the last segment of pipe from going under the Missouri River. These protests were led by the tribal nations in western South Dakota, and then other people jumped in, but this was really a tribal nations fight. And they fought it because it threatens the water they depend on if they're going to continue to live in their homelands, and because it's a continued encroachment on the land they were granted by treaty that's been chipped away over the generations. And like any landowners, they want to have control over their land and the conditions where they live. And the other pipeline is unfinished. It's the Keystone XL, and that's proposed to run from the province of Alberta to southern Nebraska, where it'll join a segment already built that goes to refineries on the Gulf Coast. And indigenous people oppose Keystone XL for the same reasons as they oppose DAPL. Their ancestors' bones are buried here, and there are sacred and traditional sites. And if you know what you're looking for, and I've seen this, you can find rock array instruments like cairns and effigies and teepee rings. Some of them are hardly visible in prairie grass. And when you find them, they're like messages from ancestors who, not mine, but, you know, the indigenous ancestors, who continue to communicate hundreds or thousands of years later with the people still alive there today. And so much of that could be destroyed by destruction or construction.
Yeah. Sure.
Those are deep trenches.
Yeah, right. Wasn't there a Keystone pipeline built on the eastern side of the state of South Dakota with very little opposition?
Right, yeah. That's the side of the state where I grew up, and that's not treaty land. That's farmland. It's ceded territory, and it kind of went through without a whimper.
So tell us about the specific reasons for yesterday's court decisions. Let's get into the weeds there.
Well, yes, just one of them was 24 pages, so the weeds are deep.
I'll try
to keep it interesting and not snoozy. Both of them ran up against flawed water permits, and centering on the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And I think both centered on a permit used called Nationwide Permit 12, which is a fast-track permit. I'd have to double-check on DAPL, but it doesn't require a full environmental impact study or input from the public, and it allows infrastructure to cross, to be built over bodies of water. In both the D.C. and Montana courts, the federal judges found that the Corps did not adequately assess the hazards of pipeline spills in these bodies of water, and the D.C. court specifically noted environmental justice concerns for the people of Standing Rock if DAPL should happen to leak into the Owyhee Reservoir. But, you know, that's the short answer.
Right.
A little more on the weeds, though. There is a phenomenon in both these cases that I've noted, and Judge Brian Morris in Montana referred to it as bureaucratic momentum, so I started exploring that term. And the DAPL project is a great illustration of this. And it's where you build most of a project right up to the point where you need a permit and then say, well, we should get a permit because it's all built except for this stretch. And that's what happened with DAPL. It built right up to the Missouri River, but the Obama administration, under the Obama administration anyway, the Corps of Engineers didn't grant a permit. But and then TransCanada built a segment of Keystone XL from Nebraska down to Texas where only state and local permits were needed, and the border crossing at Canada was where it hit a snag in the Obama administration. But when Donald Trump took office, he directed expedited permits for both pipelines, and for DAPL, it was a quick process. The underwater segment was built, and the pipeline was done. But Keystone XL hasn't fared as well. It's been tied up in courts. But part of the delay also is TransCanada's own doing, because the company has tried on at least a few occasions to cut through red tape and ended up slowing the process down because of pushback. Hmm. So, you know, over the years while reporting on pipelines, I've often thought about that saying that it's faster to beg forgiveness later than ask permission now.
Sure.
And I was really delighted to see that Judge Boasberg used that same language in his order to shut down DAPL. I'm going to bore you with a little quotation here. He said, when it comes to the National Environmental Protection Act, it is better to ask for permission than forgiveness. If you can build first and consider environmental consequences later, NEPA's action-forcing purpose loses its bite. In other words, if builders don't have incentive to follow it, they won't. And then when they're challenged after it's built, they'll protest that we can't tear it down because it would be a disruption to the economy.
Not fooling the judge on that particular attempt that we all used on our parents when we were younger.
Well, all right. there is a lot of juvenile logic to that, isn't there?
All right, so let's talk about some of the economic impact, though, because there are some things to consider here.
Right, and Judge Boasberg's order went into that pretty thoroughly because, there were briefs on it. It would be a huge it would have a huge impact on North Dakota. You know, oil comes from North Dakota, not from Canada on that one. So the Bakken fields are a huge part of that state's economy, and this would shut down a major mode of transportation for the oil. And Judge Boasberg cited information in briefs. I won't be reading exactly here, but DAPL could lose as much as $643 million in the second half of this year and as much as $1.4 billion, with a B, in 2021. Energy Transfer Partners, the parent company, would suffer most of that loss. The North Dakota oil industry would have no alternative to transport 570,000 barrels a day that now goes through the pipeline. And grain farmers might have to pay a price, premium price, to transport their harvest by rail if railroads raise prices for the more lucrative oil tankers that they can add to their strings. North Dakota oil producers might have to shut down between 3,400 and 5,400 wells and strand up to 34% of their crude production. But Judge Boasberg said, on balance, the potential for harm to downstream populations if the pipeline were to spill into the Oahe Reservoir is greater.
Mm. Wow. Let's pause for a minute to consider that with what you just laid out
and the
potential could be even greater. So tell me about those downstream users then.
It was striking language, I thought, that on balance the potential is greater. I spoke yesterday with Jan Hasselman of Earth Justice. He represents Standing Rock in the DAPL lawsuit. And he points out that DAPL runs just a few yards north of the Standing Rock Reservation. So even though it's not crossing the reservation, it affects them. And he also pointed out that DAPL's parent company, Energy Transfer Partners, does not have a great safety record with its pipelines. So the possibility of a spill is more than just hypothetical. It's based on a history of failures. And Judge Boasman said that's something that the Corps should have considered before granting a permit. And that's the economics of DAPL. As far as the Keystone Pipeline, it's not been built even in Alberta. But recent news feeds have noted that Alberta Premier Jason Kenney is announcing that we've got funding, we're going to start construction, and a contractor has been hired. So there's possibly a little bureaucratic momentum going on that end.
Right.
I did a feature a few years ago about the Eastern Keystone Pipeline in South Dakota. And here in the United States, the three states, Montana, South Dakota, and Nebraska, would probably see tax revenues from it at both the state and local levels. And those pumping stations are very important because they use a lot of electricity, and that generates revenue for energy producers, and that's passed along to, you know, the state. And in eastern South Dakota, some of those revenues went to local school districts, which in turn offset the amount of state tax money going to support those schools. One of the schools was Willow Lake, where I went to school.
Yeah.
So energy dependence has also been on the constant list of benefits over the past years, but right now oil use is dropping, some because of the pandemic, but some because people's attitudes are changing. So now there's an oil glut. So whether that argument flies now or in the future is yet to be seen.
Right. What happens next? What are we looking for in the days ahead?
If I could predict, I'd be a gambler. but both of those pipelines are out of commission for now. DAPLA is ordered to be shut down, and Keystone XL construction essentially isn't going to go forward this year because they don't have water permits. The DAPLA decision came out at the lowest court, federal court, so that's ripe for appeal. And the Corps of Engineers, if I were going to bet, will do that. But in the meantime, the Corps could start that environmental study that the agency that is going to take 13 months, according to them.
Right.
And as for Keystone XL, a lot hinges on the next election. Joe Biden has announced if he's elected, he'll immediately cancel permits for the Trans-Canada project, just as President Obama did near the end of his 8 years. But Jason Kenney in Alberta has been declaring that he believes Joe Biden can be swayed. And if Donald Trump is reelected, I continue to have a career, and the lawsuits go on and on and on.
The lawsuits go on. Victoria Wicks has been covering pipelines for 10 years, and it doesn't seem like that work is going to run dry. Victoria, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Lori.